scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets deep, I will lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I'll remind myself of all that you've done,
mountain high. God is with us always and gives us the greatest gift of love, the choice to accept it, and the call to share it. I once had a friend who I was very close with while growing up. When we were in our late teens, he moved away to live with his father, but we kept in touch loosely when we could through letters and seeing him when he visited. Now you have to keep in mind that this was before the advent of everyone having cell phones and whatnot. At some point, this friend moved back to New Jersey and we reconnected. And a lot had changed between the time he moved away and the time he came back. I was in a totally different place in my life. I was married, had children, and was a youth pastor and substitute teacher, as well as a full-time seminary student. Sadly, he was different as well, but not in a healthy way. He had mental health issues, among a host of other things that were going on. At one point, I got a text from him that said he was planning on killing himself. When I saw that, my heart froze. If you've ever had that panic moment when you received word about something you weren't expecting and it shocked you, and my heart froze. And I remember texting him back and receiving no answer. I picked up my cell phone and called him, but he didn't pick up. I grew very concerned as a friend, and inside myself I debated what I should do. Should I ignore it and hope that it was some sort of sick joke? Or take it seriously and do something about it? And if I take it seriously, what should my next course of action be? Now, as I deliberate, this, it makes it sound like I went on for, you know, a day thinking back and forth. Actually, it was a matter of a minute or two, maybe 5 minutes tops. But it felt like an eternity as I weighed the decisions in my head. Of course, I knew I couldn't take it as a joke. That's not a joke at all, even if it was intended to be. And as a youth pastor, I had to make tough decisions to protect the youth I serve. And I knew not to take such talk of suicide lightly. I had made my decision. I drove myself down to the police station and reported his text to them. And they looked at my phone and immediately thanked me and assured me that they would do a wellness check on him right away. It turned out that my friend was fine, and they brought him to an inpatient mental health center where he could get the help he needed. He was initially mad at me. But later he thanked me and he put it this way, as I had truly acted as a friend ought to act. Truthfully though, even if he hadn't ever gotten over his anger toward me, I knew I did what was right. We've probably all been there, in the position to make a decision for others and for the future. And in those decisive moments, we've needed to consider whether our decision might affect our loved ones and other people in our lives. Sometimes those internal debates are very difficult to sort through. On the night an angel appeared to Joseph, he was also struggling to make the right decision for Mary and himself. His situation was vastly different from the one I just shared. But the internal debate and the possible consequences were just as weighty. Sometimes love requires us to make difficult decisions, to go to new places, and to hope that we are doing the right thing. in our scripture today. We see that Joseph was afraid to follow through in his marriage to Mary. In Jewish culture, the vows and promises of marriage took place a whole year before the marriage could be consummated. During that time, both the bride and the groom were to remain apart, and they were absolutely expected to abstain from any sort of sexual intimacy with each other, let alone with anyone else. So it is no wonder the dilemma Joseph found himself in when Mary appeared to him pregnant. I want to pause on that word, pregnant. Let's acknowledge that we, the reader, have an advantage that Joseph did not have. We know the ending. We know why Mary was pregnant and whose son she was carrying. We get the secret window into the moment when the angel reveals to Mary exactly why she's going to become pregnant and exactly the plan for her and for her son. Joseph didn't get that memo. Joseph, in the actual moment, had no clue. And forgive me for saying that Mary's claim that it was God's son in her womb and that she was still a virgin, yeah, that was a bit hard to believe, wouldn't you say? Just think about it. Think about if it were your significant other who showed up one day pregnant and claimed that God was responsible. Luckily, God's angel appeared to Joseph and gave him courage to be Jesus' earthly father. But still, how hard that internal debate must have been. Should he believe a dream? Was the angel really God's message to him in a dream? Or was it what he hoped to be true? And one step further, what were the consequences for Joseph if he were to take Mary and this child he had no responsibility over as his own? What would happen to his reputation, and how would that dishonor his parents and his family? Remember, the vows were they were to remain separate for a year before they could consummate that marriage. These were weighty decisions. On the one hand, if Joseph doesn't take Mary and the child as his own, she could be stoned to death under the law. On the other end, if he did take her in, he'd be lying. God would know that. He'd be lying, and he would be shaming his family for something he never did. A spiritual and ethical stoning, if you will. Thankfully, Joseph listened to the vision given to him in his dream. He believed the angel and God's love for him. And Mary gave him strength to do what he believed to be right. He believed the angel and God's love for him and Mary, which gave him the strength to do what he believed to be right. So through Joseph, we learn that God's love for us gives us the strength and courage to do the things we have to do. God was there for Joseph when he was struggling that night and gave him the name for his new child, Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Indeed, God is with us in any and every situation and gives us courage to step up to choose love, even when love is not the easiest choice. Friends, true love requires active presence and courage. God is with us when we have a fear of the unknown and an uncertain future. We should also note the amazing courage of Mary, whose life and the life of the very child she was carrying was at stake. Her honor, her reputation, everything was on the line. But she was devoted to God and believed the word of the Lord that had come to her from the angel Gabriel. And they called his name Jesus, which meant the salvation of Yahweh, the salvation of God. What a powerful, everlasting gift of love that the Son of God would be given for our salvation. Remember, God loves you enough to help you in your time of need. God loves you enough to give you the courage and strength that you need. And God loves you so much that God would make such a great sacrifice in giving this gift of love to save you and me. Let us not forget, as we adore baby Jesus, that salvation would come through his inevitable, horrific, and torturous death. As William Chatterton Dix wrote in the second refrain of his famous hymn, which we cut out because it doesn't make us feel so Christmassy. In his famous hymn, "What Child Is This?" Dix wrote, "Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary." Friends, God helped Joseph find the courage to make the hard decision to be the father to Jesus. God loves us so much that God gives us all what we need, even when it comes at such a great cost. How is God trying to help you in your life today? Will you accept God's love? And how will you share that love with others? In what ways can our church reach out to the community in love by taking holy risks? What bold love actions is God calling us to engage in? What holy risks are we being called to take? In this crazy time, how can we take the plunge into risky evangelism in order to make disciples of Jesus Christ out of those in our community? How can we grow in our risky discipleship? Grow in our prayers, our presence, our tithes, our service, and our witness? How can we continue to choose love with the courage that God gives us during this Christmas season? Reflect on this and bring the answers God provides you in your heart as a gift to Jesus on Christmas Eve. Come prepared to worship the King of Kings, Emmanuel, the Peace, the Prince of Peace, with our resounding answer, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Send me." Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for this challenging and inspiring message. Thank you for reminding us of Joseph and Mary and the internal struggle that both of them had to go through in order to do what they believed in their heart to be the right thing to do. And thank you in remembering them that we are also reminded that you don't let us go that alone, but that you come to us through dreams, through angels, through little gut feelings in our heart to guide us toward what it is that you want us to do. And Lord, we know that angels take the shape of many forms. Sometimes our friends, our family, and even those we don't like very much to bring your message to us. So help us to be a people, Lord, who are open to your message, who see your vision, who dream your dreams, and who choose love over anything else. For that is who you are. Love. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.